Ever feel like no one loves you? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Bob Williamson, who was on our previous show, who was never told that anyone loved him until he realized that God loved him.
You know, I think of so many times, even in my life, where I just felt alone, you know, through breakups and through friendships, yeah. Through betrayals.
Oh, man,
and
I remember.
It's easy to just feel like, wow, does anyone really care? I just feel so alone. And I think what happens in that time is that we can pull away even from people and isolate ourselves and feel like no one really cares, or even put up walls because you don't want to get hurt again because you put your heart out.
Well, yeah, I think everyone is really seeking for that. I myself have gone many a times where I would try to avoid this feeling like the plague. You know, I didn't want to kind of come in, even the thought, like, does anyone love me? Because it was scary. It was scary. It's like, what if nobody loves me? Like, does anyone really care? Does my life even matter? So I would always try to do things in my life to make myself important, go hang out with people, try to almost people please to get that acceptance and love to make sure that I was not one of the quote unquote unlovable people.
Right, and try to work your way for that love.
Yeah.
But you know, what's interesting about reading the Bible and coming to know the Lord is that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But there are times in the Bible where even Paul, Apostle Paul, felt alone, and he writes in 2 Timothy 4:16, "And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray to God that it may not be laid to their charge." He felt alone. And there are many instances where people felt that way, but God will never leave us or forsake us. He's the one who gives us that fulfillment and love.
Well, that's no joke, because I remember before I was trying to avoid that feeling, but now as I became a Christian, I've felt that feeling, you know what I mean? Where it's like, not only am I just kind of feeling that or wondering that, I'm actually at a point where I'm getting some heat and I'm not seeing if anyone loves me. When you know that God loves you, you can really handle those moments where you really feel alone because you realize you're not alone. And I have a word for someone who's listening. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. That's a lie of the devil.
Yeah.
God is with you. When you receive Christ into your life, he never leaves you.
Yeah.
He's always with you and will always be with you. He is deeply and madly in love with you.
He cares so much about you. And I think when we feel those things, we need to reach out to him, seek him, and you will find, and he will fulfill you like no one else can. Let's hear from Bob after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by 32nd Avenue Cleaners and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Whether you need your suit, dress shirt, or dress dry cleaned and pressed, come to 32nd Avenue Cleaners to get the best dry cleaning services in Denver. With over 15 years of experience, 32nd Avenue Cleaners is conveniently located at the corner of 32nd Avenue and Lowell Boulevard in Denver. Call them today at 303-480-9647. That's 303-480-9647.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us once again is Bob Williamson, and he was sharing on our previous show how he was abused as a child. He moved around a lot, went to 19 schools. He was a homeless drug addict. And we're going to find out how he went from being a homeless drug addict to a multimillionaire.
Wow.
So let's welcome to the show, Bob. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that you got into drugs so heavily after you got kicked out of the military. They called you a sociopath and They pretty much told you that you were the type of person who would end up like a serial killer, which is not a really fun thing to hear. And you ended up in a car accident where pretty much every bone was broken in your body. You had to have blood transfusions. So let's start off with that. Tell me about your hospital visit.
Well, I was just in intensive care in serious critical condition, extremely critical. But I survived, and I had a long recovery because I had broken my right femur and other bones and had a lot of operations. So, but I've been an insomniac since I was a little kid. I only sleep 3 or 4 hours a night. So I became a voracious reader, and so I convinced a nurse to start bringing me books. And the librarian would send me a list of all the best-selling books in the world. Mm. And the best-selling book in the world is the Bible. Well, I didn't like the Bible. I thought it was just written by weak people for weak people, and I wasn't weak, and I didn't care. And started in the Old Testament. It was too boring, so I went to the New Testament. Just by accident, I was thumbing through it. She'd underlined a lot of verses. My nurse had brought me her personal Bible. So I thought, well, maybe that's a better read. And I started reading the New Testament. I was really totally enamored by Jesus Christ. He loved everybody. It didn't matter if they were a prostitute, a criminal, a leper, a beggar, whatever. And nobody in my life had ever told me I was a grown man that they loved me in my entire life. And it really hit a chord with me. So I decided to read on, and I just kept reading. I came over to a chapter in Philippians. It was Philippians 4:13. Said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that just infuriated me. I slammed that thing shut and threw it on the floor and rang for the nurse, and I told her to get it out. And I said, it's nothing but a lie. So she said, what are you talking about? And I said, it says I can do anything through Christ. But I'm a meth addict. I've worn out the veins in both my arms. I'm shooting up in my leg. And I can't change. The only way I'll change is to die and be buried in a pauper's coffin. So she got really mad and yelled at me and said that Jesus was God, that he made the blind see, cured the leper, he walked on water, he fed 5,000 people, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And if he could do all that, he could change my sorry tale. And then she stomped out of there, and I thought about it, and I thought about Jesus being crucified and where he had been beaten beyond recognition. Well, I've done that to people. I knew what it looked like. He had been whipped 39 times on his back and thorns put on his head and forced to drag across town, and people spitting in his face and laughing at him, making fun of him. Nailed him to his cross. He's up there suffocating, and everybody's out there making fun of him. And he said, Father, forgive them. And had that been me, I said, Father, kill them all. And then there were these two criminals that were being crucified with him, and one of them was making fun of him. The other one said, leave him alone. He's a good man. He hadn't done anything. And then he asked Jesus, he said, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, this day you'll be in paradise. Well, I'm sitting there thinking, well, here's a hardened criminal being executed. I mean, he's never been to church or read the Bible or anything. If he can do it, why not me? So I asked him to come into my life. I wanted some of that. I hated my life. Miserable. I'm paranoid and sick all the time and afraid I was going to get shot or be hauled off to prison or OD or something. And being able to go to paradise today sounded pretty good to me.
So when you called out to him, something happened to you, a similar experience that you had felt before, but this time it was God. Tell me about that feeling that came upon you when you called out to Jesus in your moment of, well, there's nothing better and I'd like to be in paradise.
Well, you know, I had been taking notes because I was trying to disprove the Bible, and it said you have to confess your sins, so I confessed. And then I asked him to forgive me and told him I wanted to change my life, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, I just felt a rush come over me, and I experienced rushes from heroin and meth and different things. But it went from my head all the way down my toes and back again. And a sociopath, you don't have a conscience. And I was a sociopath. I didn't feel sorry for anything I'd done. I could have shot somebody right between the eyes while I was eating an apple. It wouldn't have bothered me a bit. I mean, I was stone cold. But all of a sudden, I felt remorse, and I felt a tremendous sense of gratitude for him taking my place, taking my punishment, you know, for all that stuff I'd done.
It's amazing.
I did not still don't understand it, but I'm glad you did it.
Yeah.
So that was a turning point in my life.
Wow. And you felt his presence. You received him. You weren't a sociopath after that. You had the presence of God in your life.
Right.
In fact, you were able to get off of meth, even though you were addicted for that 7 years and in and out of prison. Now you had never had to go back because you're completely set free. And you started to work. You had a job and you worked your way up. And you worked your way up so much, you became the top in management. But you did something that other people told you not to do. You took out a $1,000 loan and it changed everything. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I worked my way up to plant management and I decided I wanted my own company. I've been told I was stupid. I couldn't amount to anything. I was a black sheep all my life. Well, you don't have any education, you don't have any money, you don't have any experience. And I adopted that phrase, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So I borrowed $1,000 on my credit card and I started a business. And 6 months later, it was a multi-million dollar organization, 186,000 customers around the world and seven distributors. And I went on and I raised three wonderful sons. I mean, my whole life changed. I had been an alcoholic since I was 13 and I got off alcohol and drugs and quit smoking cigarettes. And just started having a joyful, peaceful, loving life.
Wow.
Christ just transformed my life. I should be dead in hell forever.
Right.
Because I was probably the least likely person to ever accept Christ. But I'm glad I did.
And what's so amazing is after you got married, you had three kids, and they all love the Lord. You love the Lord. You're seeking Him. And what I love is that both your mom and dad, unbeknownst to you later on, they also came to know the Lord. So your mom, who was an atheist, and your dad, who didn't know God, he received Jesus.
Wow.
And so it's just amazing how God totally changed your life. And so there's someone listening now. There's one thing you could say to someone who's ready to give up. What would you say to them?
I'd say that if I can do it, anybody can do it. And there's always hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bob Williamson, for being with us. We just pray the Lord continues to bless you as you reach people in prisons and everywhere you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, this is compelling evidence that Jesus is not just an idea, but Jesus has the power to transform lives, your life, my life.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, we want that transformational power to come into our lives. And
yes,
the Bible says, when we call upon you, we can have a relationship that will empower our lives to the purpose you've called us to. Jesus, we call upon you. We receive you. We believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to do this in Jesus' mighty name.
And if you need prayer, give us a call at 877-480-4477. You're listening to Real Life.